känslor, kyssar och nyfikna frågor. Polyprat med Minna och Karin.
So just be very welcome to this episode of Polyprat, where we're entering into the world of relating on more than one, relating on three, but also relating in all kinds of individual ways. I have been very, very curious for a long time about how in the world this works. So today it's just me, Karin. Minna is taking a break, having the honor to have both Matthew, Fabian and Alba here to talk about poly. Hello, Alba.
Hey, Sam.
So good to have you here. Och hej, Fabian.
Hej, hej.
Fint att ha dig här.
Ja, härligt att vara här.
And hello, Matthew. How are you?
Ja, vi mår bra idag.
So what we're doing today is that I just want to hear a little bit about your all's, you know, venture into this. How in the world did you end up poly? Do you want to start, Alba?
Yeah, I think I always was poly. And then suddenly people around me came out and I was like, oh, it's an option. I'm not just like loving wrongly when I'm always falling in love with multiple people. So when my last mono relationship ended, I decided to just be poly and also ask out that guy at work I've been checking out for 2 years or more, who I knew was poly. And it turned out he had been checking me out. And that's how I met Fabian.
Yeah. And when are we talking in a time frame? Is this like...
That's 6 years ago. Yeah. 6 years, Fabian. Can you imagine?
6 years. I have memories and I don't need imagination for that.
So you guys met at work. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Fabian taught me taught me the machines at work. We were printing money. It was great.
So you were making money, actually, together. Yeah.
Oh, also, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you fall in love, right?
I taught her everything she knows. No, not really, but a lot of the things about being a printer, at least, yeah. Or a banknote printer.
Yeah. And then when you meet a person and you're immediately like, ah, yes, that's one of my people. And then you get to know them more and more and you start understanding why. But it's like immediately, ah, yes, that's one of mine.
Yeah.
And I was right.
Yeah, do you have that feeling too, Fabian, that sometimes you just feel this is one of my tribe? I don't really know.
Oh,
how,
yeah. So much. It's you just see those people that are sort of slightly offbeat with all that boring normality in such an interesting way. And you sort of find that, like, well, there are some people that are offbeat in just strange ways that you can feel like, well, they're not the boring normality, but they're not my tribe. But this is one of the my tribe occasions, yes.
Yeah. So, Alba and Fabian, you happen to not only live in the same city, but work like on the same job. And Fabian was actually like teaching Alba how to do things. And then, yeah, you both discovered not normal in a good way.
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm actually happy that I quit my job soon after. Not happy that it was because of getting extremely burnt out. But I don't really recommend dating at work, honestly. And I'm happy it didn't end up like that. It was fun because we weren't out. So it was a bit undercover. Mm. And that was fun for a couple of weeks, but I wouldn't have liked it long time.
Mm. So you actually started by being, you know, secreted or coveted in a way?
Only at work.
Oh, no. So that was like the start, not of relationships, of course, Alba, but as to venture into the poly part of relationships?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say you picked a good one to start with. It's like, it's not like going into poly light. is going into poly hardcore.
I heavily disagree. I should have started with Matthew, but he wasn't in Sweden then, was he?
No.
Okay, Matthew, tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I think I always, now looking back on it, of course, I always had some polyamorous leanings going back to, I don't know, when I was, I remember in fourth grade Sunday school being like, those four, I want to date those four. And I think, I mean, I didn't necessarily also have notions of monogamy as being essential to family life growing up in a very Old Testament style Christian denomination. And, you know, we're often talking about King David and his 700 wives and 800 concubines. And you're sort of like, okay, I don't see that around me, but it's not necessarily outside of the realm of possibility.
Which is such a fascinating combination. I mean, you and I have talked theology once or twice, but yes. Also to be in a very conservative environment, but also poly being part of what is taught in the scripture, biased towards only men having several.
Though. Yes, of course.
Not
talk about
one.
Polysaturated.
No, I know.
Talk about getting into a poly meeting with all your partners. So Matthew, what, you know, when you go to Sunday school and fantasize about four, you know, dating four of them and reading about King David, I want to hear the progression from this.
Oh, sure. The progression was more or less that I think, you know, my first high school girlfriend when I was 18, we only dated for 2 months, but at some point she broke up with me and promptly started dating somebody else, as happens with first high school girlfriends, I think. And I was hurt not so much that she was dating somebody else, but that I had been replaced in some sense. And I wouldn't have had any objection to her dating this other person as well, as long as I could have kept dating her, you know. And so I thought about that. And then next time I had a relationship, I went into the define the relationship talk and said, you know, if you want to date other people, that's fine with me. And she was a good Christian girl and she was kind of horrified.
I can just see this conversation unfolding. Like,
nothing really went forward with that. And then the next few relationships I had were also with good Christian girls and had no interest in non-monogamy. And so at some point, I met it was years after college even, I met an old friend from college who started talking about like, oh, this book called The Ethical Slut. And oh yeah, I'm doing polyamory stuff. And I was like, oh, there's names and a sort of relationship theory. And so I was like, well, you know, next time I'm in a part of my life where I'm starting new relationships, I'm just going to put my foot down. And so I did. That was like 8-9 years ago now, I think. Yeah. And then 4.5 years ago, I moved to Sweden and pretty quickly met Fabian, although we didn't date for maybe the first year or something, during which time he introduced me to Alba, and then Alba and I started dating, and then later Fabian and I started dating too. Sort of pretty in a pretty independent way. But yeah, now I'm here.
Yeah, and the introduction was very much on the line, so here is Matthew. We want Matthew to stay in Sweden. You should date more people, by the way, Alba. You should get your claws into Matthew so he stays in Sweden. And I was like, sure, I sort of feel like dating more people. I have no idea. Like, nice, I guess. And I was feeling like, you know, doing things that were sort of just nice, I guess, instead of waiting for just the perfect thing. And then Matthew started talking about Tolkien, and I realized Matthew is the perfect thing.
Well, he is. I mean, and just to be clear about that, it was like you and I do have not a dating history. I wouldn't say that, Matthew, but we do have a towel history.
Oh, we certainly do.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the towel history, or should we keep it secret?
I love histories, anecdotes.
I keep missing a word here, I think.
There's a towel.
A towel history.
It's, yes. It's in the features prominently in the story.
And it also has all kinds of nice things from like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's like all you need is a towel. It's just like the perfect nerd start, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I want to hear it now.
So I was living in a collective at that time with 7 different people. And one of my housemates, Andreas, had this woman from Gotland visiting, who was a bit strange. She had sort of like a weirdly shaved head, except a little tuft in the front that was oddly colored. And so, you know, we met each other over breakfast and this sort of thing. And, you know, we chatted a little bit. And then at some point, Andreas sent out a message to the collective group chat saying, "I deeply apologize to whoever has the brown towel. I'm afraid that Karin has used it to dry herself after a shower and it won't happen again. And it's totally, you know."
He was so embarrassed. It's like, right, this was a really bad breach of the rules of this collective. No, I had just took a towel. It's like,
anyway, I wasn't particularly bothered, and I told the chat so. And I also messaged Karin, was like, "It's really no problem about the towel." And then they got into this elaborate thing about how the towel was now in Gotland and I was going to have to come get it, or it was coming back hostage. I don't know. It's a long time ago now. But somehow we ended up flirting over a stolen towel.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like that. I had rubbed myself on it. It was all kinds
right.
Totally just set you up for this bodily encounter on distance. Indeed. App.
Is this like one of those things where you sort of, when you lick it, it's yours?
I don't remember all of the details, but somehow there was towel flirting.
It's a good towel. Anyway. I've used it myself.
Yeah. I think all of us here have probably used that towel.
I'm not certain that I have, though. You have to introduce me to your towel now. Really? I feel sort of left out.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Well, you know, there are some things you keep to some lovers and some, you know.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, there's exclusivity in towels for some people. We had a towel drama the other week in my collective also. Oh. And I didn't realize that this was like a thing. Mm. But apparently it is.
There's a lot of things you don't realize, Fabian.
And to me, it's the strangest thing that Alba has like her own towel when she's here. That is like very strange for me.
But that's a quite normal thing, honestly. So
yeah, Alba, do you have anything to say about this towel thing that you have your own? Is there anything you want to...
Once I kissed a person because I had accidentally used his toothbrush at Fabian, so I thought I might as well kiss him. That's all I will say on the macro towels.
Oh, yes.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
We've shared germs before we share the kiss. It's like it's already done. Yeah. Now, but Matthew, I think that it started you out with flirting. And I also remember that I really got intrigued by you just popping up at a museum where I was at another time. And it's like accidentally popping by and then having like the most delicious museum tour I've had in years, where we talked theology, where we talked art history, where we talked about how we perceived the craft and the arts, and you were like kissing and like teasing me so that more than half of my brain was like occupied by other things than the museum. It's like the best. I think you should all hire Matthew as your museum,
you know, yes, sir.
Guide. Yeah. For the total experience. We were at the National Museum.
Yeah, I remember I just was going to the National Museum that day and then I saw you at the top floor.
But first, it's like, Fabian, what do you say about yourself and how you do relationships?
Okay, I can definitely treat you to that. The story is basically all of my life. My earliest relationships memories from kindergarten were... Well, not very monogamous, I can tell you that.
Is anybody monogamous at kindergarten?
Some are, some aren't. There was like a 50-50 divide, I think. Some had already started being taught that way of living, and some just hadn't caught on, basically. And I sort of never caught on. I'm just like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? That's just strange. Why wouldn't I do everything? Like, I want to do everyone. basically. And I just sort of continue that way, but and then slowly building on like new terms and new like stuff, because you don't have that at kindergarten. You don't have the theory. You don't have all that. But that sort of fell into place later. But I've sort of never done monogamy, I think. Anything that's relatively close to it, at least. So that's basically the story. And yeah, then there's the story of all the relationships, but that's another, quite a different story.
But there's still a difference between when you're a child and when you're not limiting yourself, and then you're trying to navigate in this world of doing more grown-up relationships.
The first setting where I started to do more like grown-up relationships was high school, roughly. Yeah, you know, it was just diving completely into a different world, and there was a lot of firsts, a lot of feeling that I sort of felt at home for the first time in my life. The first time I didn't feel like lonely. My whole life before that had basically been a feeling of loneliness. Because I grew up in a small village, or rather a large village, but still a village in the interior of the northern Sweden. So it's just like, yeah. And when that was my only reference point, I was just like, is this life? Okay, I guess this is the only thing I've encountered. And then starting gymnasiet, estetiska programmet in Luleå, that was just like something completely different. Like life just turned up, like suddenly it was just like switching on the color in life, basically. And that is in so many regards, but relationship wise, one of them also, you can start actually like doing relationships seriously, and you can start experiencing other people seriously in quite a different way.
So if you would describe how and in what ways you three are relating to somebody who do not know you, you know, put out your boundaries, how you communicate, and maybe we'll get into a little bit of that. If that question is hard to answer, it's like, how do you describe whatever you do?
Well, it's mostly like, I usually just describe it negatively, so that like, I don't do monogamy, I don't do exclusivity. Sometimes I can do like exceptions from that and be exclusive with someone for a shorter period, like this time you and I are having a date and that's exclusive, but that is going outside of what I sort of like in my comfort zone. And just like, that's a treat to someone else, basically. That's me giving a gift of discomfort for me for someone else's comfort.
You should see the smiles here.
I can imagine. But mainly I just describe me as a greedy fucker. I just want like, as much of life as possible, and especially of other people. I just want like more people, more connections, more adventures, more misunderstandings that we can get right, more, you know, all the things. It's like,
I would love more of the getting it right part when it comes to the misunderstandings, but we'll work on it.
Oh my Lord. And right now, if I would to say something about whatever it is in your personalities that I have encountered, because I have met you in different ways, but during some years, I'd say that maybe Matthew and Alba are leaning a little bit more towards having a need for introspection and alone time. Is that to take it too far?
Yes.
Putting it very mildly, I'd say.
Yeah, I think a little bit more. is not the words here. We are on different planets when it comes to needs of alone time, in that me and Matthew need it and Fabian needs to avoid it.
Yes. Yeah. It is like, for me, it's like not eating. Like, you can do it for a short while, but it's pretty uncomfortable. Not eating. You can do that for like a few hours or like 24 hours after you've eaten, and it's fine.
And this is actually another interesting difference between Fabian and me. I think that, for example, you shouldn't always be eating. You should have meal times and not eating in between them. Whereas Fabian...
I don't hold to meal times at all. I'm just like, I eat when I'm hungry And usually I just like secure to eat in the morning as a breakfast. I just down a big plate of something. And then maybe I'll have a dinner. I don't know if I'm hungry. Or maybe I'll just skip it and have breakfast the next day.
Okay, so Alba, I want to hear, do you have any words for what you're doing if you're talking to somebody outside of this little echo chamber?
At this point, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well, this is not real. I just have to say, because usually we don't introduce our guests very very much, because we think it's more fun if we can dive into the conversation without all the, you know, to know too much. But I would say that Alba is one of the people that I really refer to, look up to when it comes to formulating yourself about important things in relationships. So let's just say, what? You don't have an idea of what you're doing.
Okay, thank you for really taking the pressure off here.
You're welcome.
Now that I have something to live up to. No, but...
If somebody from the outside asks, well, how does this thing work with you, Matthew, Fabio? What's this?
I would describe what we are doing as a very loose triad. And I would also be interested in hearing the differences in how the other people describe it. Because I think we might have different views on it in a way that's fine. But I see it as a very loose triad. We definitely have some sort of group relationship, but the individual relationships between the two peoples, like me and Matthew and me and Fabian, are stronger for me than me plus Matthew plus Fabian. But there definitely still is a group relationship, and we also, in our separate dyads, that's relationship on two people, have a strong relationship to the third person. So me and Matthew talk a lot about Fabian. We care a lot about Fabian. Me and Fabian talk a lot about Matthew. We care a lot about Matthew. I am horrified to think about what Matthew and Fabian would say about me, but I'm sure they do. And then also, of course, we are all very much open to relationships outside this triad thing that I've only grudgingly over the years acknowledged as a triad. I started a group chat for us that was called This Is Not a Triad, and I've recently renamed it to This Might Be a Triad.
After 2 years.
Yes.
So Matthew, do you care to share your point on this?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if I'm trying to be funny, what I would say is it's in some ways, you know, a disproving the old adage that parallel lines never meet, right? Because you're doing kind of almost parallel party or parallel poly, but they're very clear points of intersections. So in some sense, like my relationship with Fabian is independent and parallel to my relationship with Alba, but still we do have the group dynamic that Alba talked about. And we do hang out all three sometimes too. But I would say we hang out individually much more often than we hang out all three, for example. Mm. It is interesting, because I think for me, like one of the most important things has been maintaining the independence of the individual relationships, not just from like, having open conversations about like, okay, Alba, like you're not staying in a relationship with me because it would make it awkward with Fabian if, right? And so, you know, clearly working through these things where we really make space for each other to have agency and freedom to operate within, consensually within the individual dyads, and without undue influence either. So, I mean, you know, me and Alba talk about Fabian, but we don't try and influence each other's relationship with Fabian. In some sense, we almost try to anti-do that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an active work, you say?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when I've had troubles in one of the relationships, I've had to talk to the other of like, mostly me and Fabian can sort of clash sometimes. And then I'm talking to Matthew about what would happen if I break up with Fabian. What would happen to our relationship? And I think that's an important part of like being a healthy triad, right? That you're not forced to stay in a relationship with someone in order to not mess up the relationship with someone else. And I'm not saying it would be super easy, but I definitely think we have like the foundation for it to work. Now, I don't want to break up with Fabian.
Most days.
Okay, most days I want to break up with Fabian, but I usually change my mind.
I like the level of honesty in this little chat here.
this is actually one of the things about relationships in general that I've been sort of on about recently, is the idea that like now when I have a define the relationship conversation, I insist that that for both of us include an exit strategy. Because most relationships do end. And I think we should talk openly at the beginning about how that would work so that you can actually be in a relationship in a way that has informed consent and is not in any way coercive. And it will be a little bit corrosive, coercive if you don't feel that you can leave. And so having that be explicit, I think, has been one of my big areas of growth in my relationship approach over the last couple of years. And I think especially in group, you know, more enmeshed networks, it can be tricky. It can be tricky. That's one of the ways I think triads often break sort of famously and combustibly when they do, is when there's some sort of coercive way that's keeping one person in the relationship or in a one of the relationships without necessarily it being good for them.
So Fabian, now you listen to the other ones here.
Oh, yes. I feel I might be an outlier, but for me, what are you, true? The outlier, Fabian? Yes. So for me, I completely agree with that. The most of the activity, the focus points there is in the dyad, the three dyadic relationships between us. And then there is a group relationship that we do have that is sort of, that doesn't get so much attention. And I, for one, feel that is like the most important part. That is like, yes. Because I don't know how much this is specific to this triad and stuff like that, but the group dynamics have always been much more important to me than one-on-ones, and it's just where life happens, like much more for me. It feels much more. It's much more important that those things work for me, and it's like I'm trying to get as much of this as I can without overwhelming the other members of this. So I'm just like trying to, in a good way, sort of not to push it too hard. It's a balancing act, especially when you don't like I don't read signals and don't get hints and all that stuff. It's just like, it just goes past me. It's really hard to sort of not push that too much. But yes.
Matthew and Alba, how does this... Because when you're talking about what is the most important thing is and where the time is put and everything, there are some different longings and some different wishes in the room.
Yes. Thank you for the group therapy, Karin.
No, really, but I know really that you're true. Talking about this all the time. I know. But how do you handle this? It's like, this is something to handle if you have very different wishes. It's just like the same thing in a monogamous relationship. How much together time, how much alone time, how much time together with other people. What do we crave, like, to get relationships to grow?
Okay, I'm going to give a very brutal answer here, which is being in a relationship, I was going to say being in a relationship with Fabian, but I think for me, being in a relationship with anyone means I have to be very clear about what I can give and what I want. And with Fabian, the things I can give and the things Fabian wants for me will never match. The things Fabian can give and the things I would dearly like from him are never going to match. The things we still get from each other are amazing, and it's worth it. So I know that Fabian would like all our dates to be group dates. And I'm saying, no, that's not going to happen. Do you want me? This is a two-person date. And Fabian has to buy that or not. And it's, and that's better than if I like try to go along and like, oh, we could do this group thing and we could do this group thing. And then I suffer and then I get resentful and then I start hating Fabian and we break up. We don't match on so many things. And I think just being clear about that, and then also, of course, being kind about it. So when I have group plans that could include Fabian, I try to invite Fabian. I try to think about like, oh, we should have a triad date soon and stuff like that. So it's being brutal with my needs so that I then have space to be kind instead of leading with someone else's needs. So I have to be even more brutal to protect myself, if yes. That makes sense.
It really does. So what about you, Matthew? What do you do with this brutal honesty, radical honesty, Alba, that you're...
Matthew is more than me on that point.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that I love about polyamory is that nobody's expected to meet everybody else's, you know, all of their needs. And I certainly don't think any of us are capable of fully meeting any of the other of us' relationship needs. And I don't think there's any particular point in trying.
No.
As Alba said, on that path basically lies danger and resentment and, you know, eventual hurt. And I think, so it is important to think about what we need and each prioritize taking care of ourselves because, and this is a point of constant disagreement between Fabian and me, actually, I think each individual is best suited to understanding their own needs and taking care of their own needs. And then they can help ask other people for help with that. But it really is the individual's responsibility to make sure, in some sense, that they're communicating their needs. And that's not always easy. You know, I of all people know that it's often hard to know what my needs are. And it's hard to then communicate them. But ultimately, nobody else can do it better than me. So if I want them met, then I have to, in some sense, take some steps at setting good boundaries for myself around my time and my energy and how I interact with other people. And that's for my benefit, but also, I think, very much for the benefit of the people around me.
Yeah.
It's the sort of the old saying, take care of yourself since nobody else has to. You know, in some sense, it's when you think about prioritizing other people or prioritizing a group, you have to think about the fact that not taking care of yourself has a very negative impact on the people who are closest to you. So yeah, I think, I mean, there's nothing brutal about Alba's approach in some sense. I think it's clear and kind.
Yeah.
So Fabian, how does this sit with you?
I mean, it's nothing strange for me. It's okay. It can feel strange because I sort of feel that everyone, not only these two other people, but like almost everyone else is far less collectivistic than I am, and much more individualistic. But that is something that I sort of just have had to sort of like go along with, that the world is not as I would want it. It is not as I am.
I can hear you.
And I mean, it's the pain. You just have to accept some stuff. You can't just get the world of your wishes and dreams.
That could be on the epithet of the entire human race right there.
Yeah. Exactly. So I know of this discrepancy between me and most all the other people I meet and interact with, and I sort of try to manage that, and both try to find a balance between sticking to my guns and not creating too much conflict and strife between me and others. It's a balancing act. I need to sort of feel that I've taken a responsibility to push the world in a better way, but I also feel that I have a responsibility not to push my will onto others in a too forceful way. So
if you look at this very practical, because you guys are really good at talking about it at a more of a how you relate, how you communicate. So how do you do it? Do you live together? Do you have tons of kids? Do you negotiate everyday towel things? Like, okay, you should see the faces here around me. Like, okay, for me, it's a normal thing to you might live with other people, okay? So God, I'm so sorry I caused you all some kind of heart attack here.
Oh, my tummy. Nice laugh.
Okay, so you know the relationship escalator theory of like a relationship goes, you go dating, then you live together, then maybe you get a dog, I'm not very clear on it, and then you get kids, and somewhere probably before that you get married. Anyway,
I thought it was a chicken.
I want chickens.
I know.
Okay, let's not get chicken distracted. It's very easy. Like how living together is a marker of how strong your love is and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so I definitely have a lot of mononormative hangovers, so I can long for those things. But in the relationship with Fabian, it's so nice that I don't have to long for living together as a marker of how strong our relationship is, because Fabian and me would literally die if we tried living together.
Fire and fucking brimstones.
I would kill Fabian.
Oh, we don't want that. We're not encouraging people.
I also don't want that, just for the record.
Yeah, no, we have extremely different living space needs. Fabian needs there to be a lot of things, a lot of clutter, a lot of people, just a lot. And I need there to be as little as possible. I'm not succeeding very well, but like a lot of quiet, a lot of empty surfaces, a lack of people. Like we would wither and just wither away in each other's homes. So practically speaking, I go to Fabian's every Wednesday and it's great. Sometimes I go there in a weekend and that's about as much as I can handle.
And also, whenever I go to Alba's, it is not so much about how much I can handle Alba's as how much Alba can handle me being quite in uncomfortable at Alba's place and sort of trying to not stir up too much fuss in Alba's nice space.
And I'm in the middle of a course of PTSD treatment for trauma I suffered while living with a romantic partner, and therefore basically at a place in my life where I have no interest whatsoever living with a romantic partner.
You should see there are like warm smiles and kind of laughs about this. I don't think they're meaning anything but loving things towards you. But if somebody gets a little bit triggered by that, I think it was done very lovingly. So it's like living with somebody is not, at least living with a romantic partner is not at top of your wish list.
No.
I actually, even when I was monogamous, I was at folkhögskola for 4 years. So I lived in Dalarna. And then for a lot of that time, I had a boyfriend in Stockholm. And that was so optimal for me. I had my own little life. And then every third week, I would go home and visit my boyfriend. And for the rest of the time, like I texted him, I called him, but I had my own life. And I realized afterwards that that's like the solo poly life. right there. I didn't date others, but I still had that freedom that I still try to create for me in my poly life.
So, Matthew, how do you and Fabian and Alba meet and conduct like everyday life things? How do you do it on a practical level? How do you meet? Do you only have Zoom meetings?
Yes.
Fabian's preferred means of communication, right?
I'm all about in real life.
Yeah, so once again, just in terms of our daily life, I think most of our interactions are within our dyads, both in terms of, well, actually I would say like I communicate, you know, as behooves our Fabian's different relationship needs. I communicate with Fabian more often in group chats than in individual chat, but with Alba more often in individual chats than in group chat. In practice, Alba's actually privy to about half of my communication with Fabian, which is sort of funny, but you know, it is how it is. And then when we have something that's more that I want to take separately, then I take it separately. In terms of group dates, I feel like most of our group dates are sort of like special occasion activities. Like, oh, like last week, we went to the grand opening of Costco in Sweden as sort of like a group date, which was quite fun. And then, you know, we'll go out sailing sometime, all three of us, or, you know, go out to a show or something. But I was saying earlier that I thought it could be fun to have like more cozy, just the three of us cooking dinner and hanging out dates. But in practice, we haven't done that very much for whatever reason.
I know reasons.
Yes.
I was going to say time constraints, but Alba maybe have other reasons.
No, time constraints, it's definitely one of them. And like a special activity is, of course, like enough to gather some people. But also like, I think one of the problem with triads that I would be really interested actually of hearing from other triads about is that our interests aren't that triadic all the times. So Matthew and Fabian have a lot of interests that unfortunately bore me stupid.
Like what?
I get so bored and so frustrated. And I've also been struggling with mental health a bit and my father's death and stuff recently. Yeah. So my tolerance for people talking about things I'm not interested in is unfortunately low. And Fabian has the attention span of a very small squirrel. So if me and Matthew talk about something that interests me and Matthew, he will just start climbing the walls.
Yeah, literally.
Yes, definitely. And start trying to fix things on the walls. I don't know. There will be tinkering. I don't know. I think Matthew would actually be the best at allowing me and Fabian to talk about things that doesn't interest him. Because Matthew is honestly the best of us. Don't let it go to your head.
Thank you.
But that is like one of the reasons I've been less interested in triad dates over the last year or something, unless there's an activity. Or maybe just more interested in triad dates.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a tricky thing. And I would actually be super interested to hear how other group relationships do it, especially triads, because then it's so easily one person out.
Yeah, I'd say the same about sex on three. It's like, it's not very different. It's like, what things do we all like to do when we're all involved? And what do we do when two people get more involved? And the third one is just like, well, I'll go make some coffee then, I guess, or clean the bathroom.
I've had amazing group sex on three, though, when I had a horrible cold. And so... when this was before pandemic time, so I was allowed to have a cold and also be around people. And at any point when the two of others were like having sex, I would go off and just cram energy bars into my mouth in order not to pass out. I've also played mobile phone games during group sex. There was a quest. It was timed. It felt like a good priority.
I like your description of the group sex, that you had to like stuff energy into your face not to pass out. It makes it sound like weirdly, very adventurous sex.
No, it was just the being awake that was difficult.
Yeah. How exciting the sex life of people having sex on three always is, right? Mobile yes. games and stuffing food in your face, not to fall asleep.
But this is also the thing. From my perspective, it's like the group dates are like, this is nice, but would be even nicer if we three were like in a bigger group also. Like there's like a party of like 20 people or 15 or 10 or something, so that you sort of like... the whole triad is there, but you don't need to like constantly interact with and feel like you need to balance everything. And it's like, you can come and go and you can like, like I'm so much more there. And that Fabian, goes for sex also. Like
sometimes I think you and I have some things in common, Fabian.
Yeah, no.
You are pretty similar.
I think you have something that a very special, specific set of skills, or maybe just a lack of something. I don't know. But that I do struggle with the feeling of being left out. I mean, I can be in the middle of all that and just feel like, oh, it's just wonderful. And then suddenly it hits me in the head like a basketball. It's like, yeah, the go make coffee thing, as I call it. It's like everybody here would benefit from me not being there. It could be two other people or more people. And then when I'm in my flow, I just think that everybody benefits from me being there. Of course, you know, that thought don't even enter. But I just like how you explain that nearly all the time. Things would be better with more people. It's a wonderful way of putting it. How do you react to that, Matthew? I saw some kind of hiding. Or
I have some theories about group sex in particular. It's sort of interesting when, for example, like the... suppose you have like person A, B, and C, and person A, like dyad A, B, and dyad B, C have very, very different sexual energies.
Oh, yeah. That's
this can be sort of like interesting or cozy, or it can be kind of exclusive, or, you know, it can be, but it definitely is an experience. And I think another thing is that there's a lot of heteronormativity around the way sex is done, and like focus on specific sexual acts that are very dyad focused. And this, I think, can end up being very explicitly. So I also think that there needs to be kind of an informed theory of like, you know, when you're taking focus away from genitalia, when you're having sex, for example, it gets a lot easier to have an inclusive dryad sex, for example. And I think it's sort of interesting because that goes away a little bit when you add more people, like Fabian was saying. Because I think three people, for example, you have like the energies are still very tightly coupled, because it's close to like the very tight connection that when you're having two people having sex. Because the three people, you sort of feel like you can still have that kind of tight connection, all three. And then it kind of wobbles in and out of phase a little bit. But once you have like five or six, then I feel like everything's just kind of sloppy. And so you're like, you don't feel included. You just go and start finding some other corner of the pile. So in some sense, I think Fabian has a point about there's at least some simplicity to be had when you have a large sexual background. I don't think I've been in any kind of group situation for a long time now, so my ideas might be out of date.
I mean, me either.
What I think about is that it's both very similar to other kinds of interactions you have with people. And it is, of course, special because we have both in society and at least for myself, it is different sitting around the table talking or having group sex in the living room. One of the things that we've talked about a bit is that when you have limited energy, when you want very different things, is that a topic that you talk about openly, or are those things?
Oh, definitely.
God, yes. We have to.
Yeah.
Because I think that's not always common in relationships, that really have a language for it and have a format and have ways to talking.
I would say especially Alba and I have some extremely sophisticated ways of talking about energy levels and how it impacts the way that we relate to each other. I mean, we'll go so far as to sometimes schedule a date, then cancel cancel it immediately and then reserve the right to uncancel the date later if energy permits, so that you don't have, for example, the pressure of an already scheduled date, but it's easier to make space for there to actually be something.
No, that's like, so this day is a canceled date between us, so you can't do anything else there. You can only use it for alone time.
All right.
But if we have the energy, we will uncancel the date.
Right, exactly.
And I mean, Matthew and I also have, I think it's an important point that most of our relationship right now is in text. And yeah. We've even had some energy struggles, like meeting up in real life. That means that text Alba and text Matthew have a great relationship that is occasionally messed up by real life Alba and real life Matthew meeting up and just
generating drama.
Yes, they're so
unnecessarily
dramatic. Yeah. Which is now getting better, but
yes,
we both have had our struggles this year with, especially with energy levels. And like with me and Fabian, it's always a balancing act, because there's always like my battery always needs refilling, always needs to make sure that I don't drain it too much, that I refill it enough. Fabian's battery always needs draining. So it's always a struggle of getting Fabian to use up energy and getting me to preserve energy. I wish there was just a special handhold that could just transfer some. That would be great.
Yeah. So just to clarify, when Alba talks about energy, she talks sort of about like intensity and just like stuff like that. And yeah. I get energy and intensity and just like force of life and stuff like that from hanging out with other people, from doing socially interactive stuff, specifically with a lot of people. And whenever I'm alone, I just fall into this apathic, just like droning consistency, just like nothing is fun. I just like collapse completely. So there's two completely different energy equations that need to be met, sort of.
Yeah.
Especially me and Alba has interesting things we need to conduct sometimes. Sometimes there's a clear need for me to sort of go wild and then calm down, and for Alba to sort of crash and then come back from that. And this can be hilariously fun to watch sometimes when you're sort of watching everything from the outside. You can sort of see this as like a theater sketch or something, and it just like, it's hilarious sometimes.
When I look at how I charge, I'm on Team Fabian. I think that, well, as you know, I have some people where I'm like, this is such a waste of time going to the bathroom alone. It's like, do you want to come along? And that's, I know that's weird for so many people. It's like, oh, finally going to the bathroom, I get some alone time. And it's not true for everyone, so I don't want everybody into the bathroom with me. But there are people.
Next Polyfika will be interesting.
It will be really interesting. Everybody.
I mean, bathrooms are small. You don't need to bring everyone, but a couple of friends is okay, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. It's like, and you can just continue talking, or at least, you know, just having your energy.
Play a small short board game while you're having a dump. That's just like. Gorgeous.
See the other people in the room here. I think that Fabian is on another level, but I can really, really relate. Sometimes, though, it's interesting for me to see and what is happening, because in my relationships, funnily enough, most other people don't charge the same way I do. Maybe we look for people who are a bit different anyways. So, like, for example, traveling for me, as long as it's, for example, in Sweden, that's marvelous time for me. It's like I live a life with kids, and to sit on a train, to travel, to talk with people on the ferry, to have like meeting new people, or maybe just, you know, I can go into reading a book, or to go away on, even if it's not a great adventure to travel across Sweden, I acknowledge that. But in the times of Corona, you know, even those travels have been interesting. For me, that charged me up. So it's not in that way, it's not hard for me to have long distance relationships because the travel time, I love it. And also to get out of my usual where I am usually. And also, I do think that it's very seldom that I've felt after a weekend, for example, that I'm like, yeah, good thing. I'm now done. I'll go home. It's just like always. It's like I'm just starting to feel so much better than when I went, you know, and started refilling or being. And that can be a really hard thing for me. Like when I just want more. And the other people are like, oh, now it's fine. I'm yeah. so done. How do you?
I also wouldn't feel like that after a week. And I will feel like that after half a day, Colin.
So if you would give some advice, Alva, for me, being extroverted and just thinking, how can somebody not want more of what is wonderful?
I think, honestly, a lot of asymmetry can be fixed by just understanding that it exists. So, for example, if I stay at Fabian's over a whole weekend, he has sometimes had the foresight to say, Alba, why don't you go off on a walk on your own to get some chips? Or like some snacks or some candy or something, which combines my two favorite things, alone time and eating.
Good stuff. Good move, Fabian.
No, and he doesn't want to miss me, but he's like, okay, Alba, you need to be on your own a while because then we can have more of the fun times. If we stay together, you're going to just collapse. And so you have to sort of work together a bit and like, Fabian needs constant noise, so I always make sure to put on music when he's here. And then sometimes we have to be like, no, we have to have the Alba-approved playlists, but then we can have them. You have to like look at each other's needs and see which ways you can fill them and also look at what the actual need is.
That one is the hard one, though, isn't it? To dig that layer down and see, okay, what's under this?
Yeah.
That's, as you said before, Matthew, and we've talked about it quite a lot. It's like there's nothing wrong with the need, but who am I going to, if I need a person to fulfill it, who is the person at this moment? That's a tricky one. It's a really tricky one, I think, because when I love being with somebody, it's very hard for me to change headgear and think, oh, I'll get the hugs from somebody else.
Yeah.
But like when I'm with Fabian and I get stressed out by something Fabian does, I text Matthew.
Oh.
And I'm like, you can't believe what Fabian just said. And I get my understanding needs met by Matthew, which makes my relationship with Fabian better.
Oh, beautiful.
And this is the thing with needs. In a dyadic relationship, on a dyadic date, there are three clusters of needs. So there are the needs of the two different people, and then there is the need of the relationship. And to know which one you are to prioritize at any given moment and in what regard is always a balancing act. And it's a fucking skill that you need to just acquire. I'm still trying to do it.
So Matthew, you're sitting, you're somewhere, and this message pops out from Alba. It's like, you won't believe.
Yes.
So when you're understanding Alba and stuff, is that something you're doing for Alba, or are you doing it for Fabian or for the all of them? Or how does this work?
I would say mostly Alba.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels rooted distinctly in our relationship, not in the group dynamic.
Yeah.
Like it's the part of the dyad relating to the to another dyad in this case.
Yeah.
And then of course me and Matthew also have like policies for texting, which is I can text at any time, but Matthew is free not to answer. And that texting policy has saved me so much because I tend to be very nervous about people not answering, and I'm like, am I being horrible? Do they hate me now?
Oh,
am I?
No.
But if the deal is, I know you don't have energy to answer, you're busy sometimes, then it's fine. If it's fine if they read the text and don't answer, it's like, because that's part of the policy. So I just text, and then maybe I get an answer and maybe I don't, but I have vented, and then I can go back to Fabian and be like, okay, let's just, this is what I need right now. For you to bring me something to eat.
Would you care to say something more about communication and how, if you have like policies, like you say, or ways of this is what I need in communication?
Clear fucking verbal communication.
Verbal, not text.
Verbal or in text, but just like not signals, not like implicated things that should, you should just understand this by virtue of being a human or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Oh, fuck. That is the closest thing that you can come to a definitive need that I have when it comes to communication. Just like, don't speak signal to me. It doesn't work.
Yeah. And I mean, I have something I talk about with people in the start of relationships, both by now, both like dating relationships and closer friendships, which is, I talk a lot. I talk a lot about the people in my life to the other people in my life. I think I'm good at knowing what to mention to people and not. But if something is secret, you have to tell me. And preferably in advance, so I can say, I don't actually want to keep a secret. You have to tell me if something is secret. And I know Fabian is very much like that too.
Yes,
you
have that is to tell very, him, very and then important. He will
say, yeah, and then he will say, I can't keep secrets. Please don't tell me.
I need to consent before being told something that is private. Because sometimes, oftentimes, I can't sort this in my brain. I cannot remember that this is a secret. So just don't tell me if you want me to keep anything a secret. And sometimes I can maybe manage, but then I need to sort of like really go into it and really like know that beforehand. And like, am I rested enough? Can I sort it enough? Otherwise, I don't want the responsibility of other people's secrets.
And then I think we have not as a stated policy, but definitely as something we do within the triad, which is we don't try to influence, like we don't try to tell the other what to do about their relationships with each other or indeed with any other person.
Yeah, because there are other people also involved in this, right?
Of course. But like, I know Fabian and Matthew very well, and I can like, okay, with Fabian, I sometimes say, this is what Matthew needs. You haven't understood that yet, have you? No, you haven't. But I even try to be very, very careful with that, because that's actually for Matthew to tell him.
Do you, Matthew?
Sometimes, when I know. That's always the hard thing for me, is knowing what I need.
Yeah. But we're all very good at not trying to like give our perspective, but without telling the other, this is what you should do. And I think that's extremely important in any sort of relationships, definitely in polyamory, to have the respect for the other person's relationship with other people, that you can give your perspective. You can also draw boundaries around if you want to hear about another partner or if you want to see another partner, but you shouldn't be like, this is how you do you should do your other relationships.
This is so hard. I think I need to record your voice and like play it every morning, and maybe I'll eventually learn. Because there are quite a few times when I think, well, you know, I know so much more than what you do about what's best for you in your other relationships. And
that's
just, it turns
so
out
tricky.
It's, yeah, I know.
It's polyamory. Because I've been like, I've hung out with Matthew's other partners who I am not dating, and we've been talking about Matthew. And then you have to be like keeping separate containers in your head. So when I talk to them, I am talking to them, and I am like, based on my knowledge of Matthew, this is what I think might be going on. But I will never say, actually, Matthew told me about this instance between you, and this is what he thinks.
Yeah.
Not for me to say, but I can like say, I don't have any actual examples, but you can be like, I don't think Fabian actually hates you, Matthew could say to me, or like, I'm sorry, I've lost the thread a bit, but like, you have to be very clear in your head that now I am a friend listening. It's a bit like watching a show with someone who hasn't watched it before. And they're like, I think those two are going to get together. And you know they're not going to. But you have to sit there and be like, you know, that's really reasonable.
Interesting theory.
I value the people I love and the people I'm close to, that they share things about their lives. And since relationships is such an important part, I really cherish that they share what's going on in the relationships. And then I can so relate to that, Alba. It's like, oh my God, can I hint in any way that is not violating anybody's privacy towards something that I know quite surely, you know, yes, or when is it ethical to say, you know what, I need to go check with someone before I can continue to talk, because I think you'll see on me what's happening. Or I think this is a hard one.
And then, of course, it's very important to always take care of yourself too and be like, you know what, I'm not the right person for you to talk to about this right now, because I have feelings involved in other places. And I think what you're saying right now is very important and very legitimate, and you should talk to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you all in how you conduct your relationships outside of this not triad or maybe a triad? Do you want to share something about that?
There's not too much to say. I mean, I just have other relationships and they're not involved in this relationship. It's sort of like going back to the same principle of, I mean, for me, maybe my core principle of polyamory is agency. You know, I get to do the things that I want to do in my life, and nobody can, in some sense, like, gainsay that. I mean, you know, there have been times when Alba was like, do you really want to take on another relationship right now? Or are you sure this is good for you? But in some sense, that's the highest level of interference that.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely said you're not allowed to date on dating apps right now, Matthew, but that's a joke, because I know Matthew is low on energy. You are not allowed to date other people.
Right. But it's more like, Matthew, didn't you tell me that you weren't allowed on dating apps?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And Alexa, I'm sorry.
When I hear that word being used that way, I just my knee-jerk reaction is just like, no, you can still have full agency, but being very interfered with. Like, interference is not like controlling, it is just like being in the bus of something. So I mean, being in the force field of someone else is even if they're not trying any specific way or anything to nudge you in any direction, you can still be interfered by them and have your own full agency, even though you are in a force field where you're sort of interfered by them.
I think that's easier for you because you have such a strong agency in yourself.
True. I've also been told that I am a very interfering person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we have an interesting situation going on right now when me and Fabian both started dating the same person.
I know.
Individually, I was so angry. It's accidentally happened that we started dating the same person at the same time, and which could be, you know, unicorn hunting and could run into some of the difficulties of unicorn hunting. And that's why I put my foot down very, very hard and said, if this is to be going on, and of course I can't influence anyone else, so to stop it, the thing I could do was to stop dating the new person, which I don't want because she is amazing. But then I was like, okay, I need this to be extremely parallel. There is to be absolutely no group dates. I want to find my feet in this relationship. You can find your feet in this, your relationship. And when we have the dyads down, then we can start interacting more with each other. And now we did go on the trip to Costco. This new person was also part of the trip to Costco. It was her car. And she was, we had a lot of fun, but then it was a bit more like a friends type thing, not a like group triad date thing, more of a gang thing.
Sometimes it's a bit complicated with all the ties and strings that are already there, but it just sounds like a really, really, really good boundary to have. To if you feel that need, keep it separate for a while. I would like to say a big thank you to you, all three of you, to Matthew and Fabian and Alba, for coming in and sharing a bit. And I also feel that there are some things that we've talked about, like mental health and how much energy we have and clear boundaries and communication, that I really appreciate and that I think should be talked about more. So I'd just like to thank you all very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Our pleasure being on.
This has been so much fun. Best group therapy session ever.
It's been a nice talk. It's way too short, way too little. But that's always the thing with me.
We'll need to say goodbye. Thank you. And hej då. Och välkomna till podcast.
Hej då.
Du hittar Pollyprat på vår Facebook-sida och där poddar finns. Ställ gärna frågor till oss.